Liverpool, just like they did last season, here against West Ham in the Carabao Cup, with another 5-1 victory over West Ham. It wasn't quite as easy as the scoreline suggested. West Ham went in front, not great defending by Liverpool from a corner. Endo's clearance, striking an unfortunate Kwanza in the six-yard box, into the own net. Liverpool's response was excellent. Diogo Jota, great ball out wide to Gakpo down the left. His cross, Chiesa on Liverpool, full debut, played 58 minutes, hit a shot into the ground, and up went Jota to great leap to nod it into the back of the net. Liverpool started the second half brilliantly. Curtis Jones driving forward from midfield. Great run. He started the move in his own half. Brilliant through pass. Jota in. That was a great finish to make it 2-1 to Liverpool. Jones then nearly scored again. Good save. Kelleher made some great saves. West Ham were furious they didn't get a penalty. But then Salah starting and ending a move with an emphatic goal. Two brilliant goals by Gakpo at the top end. Great night for the Reds. Liverpool 5, West Ham 1.
That was our commentator Steve Hunter's summary of events here at Anfield as Liverpool beat West Ham by 5-1 in their Carabao Cup third round tie. A Diogo Jota brace either side of half-time gave Liverpool a 2-1 lead after a Jarrell Kwanza own goal opened the scoring for the visitors after 21 minutes. Mo Salah made the victory safe with a third for the Reds on 74 minutes, and 2 minutes later the Hammers were down to 10 men when Edson Alvarez was sent off after picking up a second yellow card. A Cody Gakpo double made it 5-1 late on, a scoreline that sent the Liverpool fans home happy and Arne Slot's side firmly into the draw for the fourth round of the competition. I'm Mark Benstead and you're listening to The Reaction. Coming up in this podcast, we'll hear from Arne Slot, Diogo Jota and Curtis Jones, as well as former Reds Neil Mellor and Jay Spearing, who join me pitchside for LFC TV's post-match show. And that is where we head first. Anil, ultimately a convincing win, a convincing scoreline against a West Ham side that did offer a bit tonight.
Yeah, I thought West Ham started better. They got themselves the opening goal and you were thinking, OK, this could be a difficult night for us. We responded well to get the equalising goal and then you felt as though at half-time, the next 5-10 minutes start of the second half was going to be massive. Liverpool started really well. We got the second goal to get ourselves in front. A little bit of a response, and whilst we scored 5 goals tonight, the goal scorers will get a lot of credit. Jota getting 2, Gakpo getting 2. There's a big save in there at 2-1 from Kevin Kelleher, and that deserves a big mention. That goes in, might have been from Antonio, just come off the bench. All of a sudden, the momentum turns again. It gives West Ham a lift, because they never got a lift. After getting the opening goal, West Ham, you're thinking, will they offer a little bit more? A couple of nearly moments. About 5 or 6 penalty appeals. You're thinking, will the referee give one? By the way, how good was the game without VAR? Nice. It was much more enjoyable. It felt a little bit more real. It was a really good night's work. 9 changes for Liverpool. The players who came in did extremely well. And it could have been a completely different, but the lads saw it through to make it a good win.
We've spoken a few times over the course of the last week or two about the reaction shown by this Liverpool side, both in-game and off the setback against Nottingham Forest. And that was the case again tonight, wasn't it, Jay? Because disallowed goal initially by West Ham, then they score a goal, poorly defended, a bit scrappy at the back. The heads don't go down. There's no kind of loss of concentration or form. This team are starting to show signs. They just pick up and pick up where they were.
Yeah, for me, I think reaction is probably the perfect word for it. I felt that, you know, the start of the game was quite slow from Liverpool. I felt that we were quite like, we passed the ball slowly, we didn't really get going, we didn't seem to really have a real threat at the start. I felt the goal woke us up. I felt that was now a time from that moment, as if like, well, hold on a minute, we're in for a game. The reaction from it was brilliant, obviously, to go and get a goal. Obviously, Jota, great pick out. You know, it was probably the first real clear passage of play that Liverpool played. Sharp, up, back and through. Obviously, Cody running through. Like Neil said, there's no VAR, maybe offside, but we'll take it. But then Cody to real have that composure in the 18-yard box, pick out Chiesa. Obviously, he's gone for the spectacular volley. But listen, a striker's instinct. Obviously, Mel's will know a lot more than I do. But, you know, Jota to react quickly first and get his head on it and put his head sometimes where it could possibly hurt. And he gets the goal that he deserved. And then Liverpool, after that, I felt I had full control of the first half. And then, obviously, second half speaks for itself. We were better started. We needed goal after goal after goal. And then clear winners in the end.
I think one of the words the manager mentioned in the pre-match press conference was rhythm. But when you make 9 changes, and for some of these lads, it was the first start this season, it can be a little bit difficult, and maybe that's where West Ham did make the most of it. So because of that sort of lack of rhythm, So we didn't really create that many chances. The lads then got into it and the quality shone through it. And that's really encouraging. You know, there's a feel-good factor around the football club. A couple of good results, Milan, and then backed it up against Bournemouth. And then again today, we're into the next round, round four of the League Cup. Big game at the weekend against Wolves. The feel-good factor just maintains. And the players, even though they're not playing in the Premier League, they've come on and done extremely well tonight and just said to the manager, if you need me, I'm available. I must say again, Cody Gakpo, probably the best player in Milan. Didn't get his head down because he didn't start at the weekend. Reaction again, just doing the business, couple of goals, really good performance.
Yeah, we'll talk more in detail about Gakpo and some of the other boys who took their chance tonight very well. But just on that lack of rhythm, maybe that lack of rhythm, that little bit of rustiness with one or two players explains the goal that West Ham scored, because there's plenty of bodies in and around Alvarez, but nobody reacts quickly enough to the danger, really.
Yeah, it's a little bit slow in the box. You know, we didn't win the first contact. That obviously, that'll be a disappointment from the staff. They'll look at that and think, well, why didn't we win it? But then biggest of all will be the second. I think if you get a chance to look at it back, Alcaraz has got four Liverpool players around him plus Kelleher. You know, and then the reaction is, can we all kind of all freeze for a second? He's able to take a touch, a second touch, and, you know, it's really difficult. Endo's made a tackle inside the six-yard box. It's ricocheted. Hit Kwan, said he doesn't know anything about it. He's very unlucky to be in a place where it's hit him and gone in. You know, he couldn't do anything about it. But Liverpool, in the set piece, I think they'll have to look at it and be, are they really happy with how they defended the second phase?
At the other end of the field, though, biggest win of the season so far. Two goals scored in every game, apart from Forest. Yeah. Good trends to be developing so early in a campaign.
Yeah, and also goals for players right across, you know, rather than just relying on Salah. No, Salah scores tonight. Nunes scores a worldie at the weekend. He doesn't score tonight, but again, it's other players who are contributing and scoring goals. And that's going to be needed. It really is that all the players are going to be needed to contribute. And Jota, you know, he gets a couple of goals. Probably needed that goal. You know, he scored on the first day of the season. Hadn't scored since. Little breather at the weekend. Thought he benefited from that. Looked a little bit sharper for that and gets himself a couple of goals.
Well, Neil has perfectly teed up our interviewee. Let's hear now from the man who's got a couple of goals tonight, or one of the men who's got a couple of goals tonight. Diogo Jota is with Pete McDowell.
Well, Jota, congratulations. Resounding win. Resounding response to going a goal down.
Yeah, special result. I think towards the end, obviously, we scored a couple of goals and the game was not 5-1, but they were much harder than that. They played well and they had their goal, so coming from behind it was good, and we wanted to progress in the cup. We won it last year, we want to do it again, so we are happy to go through.
Patience seemed to be the key as well. Obviously, you responded quick to go in a goal down, but they were very successfully closing off those passing lanes. You had to be patient in trying to find those holes.
Yeah, like I said, they're playing good, sitting a bit back, also good on the ball, making it hard for us, especially after going 1-0 up. So yeah, we are happy to make the comeback and to have a convincing win in the end.
You'll be happy with your goals. You started and finished the first one off. Chiesa probably gets the assist for that as well. It was a nice goal for you to score.
Yeah, especially because we were 1-0 down, like I said, so it was important to reestablish as soon as we could, and obviously I'm always happy to score, especially at Anfield nights.
To get the first one, then to get the second one, extra special. There was a little goal celebration as well in there.
Yeah. My girlfriend is pregnant again, and it's almost time, and I'm happy outside of the pitch as well because of that.
Congratulations. Yeah. It puts everything in perspective, that, doesn't it? Becoming a dad again?
Yes, for the third time. It's coming quick and fast, but I'm enjoying it. It's the most important.
So much hunger out there tonight, and obviously changes made to the team. Everybody needs that momentum and needs those minutes, but you wouldn't have seen it. You wouldn't have guessed it from that Liverpool performance.
Yeah, obviously some players didn't play much yet, so we know that these games can be tricky, a bit rusty sometimes, but we showed like we are all prepared. Obviously, physicality-wise, we need to get those minutes, so we are ready for a big season, hopefully with a lot of games, and we need to be ready, like I said, to be called up as the manager wants.
As you mentioned there, these are three games weeks now, so no striker likes to come off scoring two goals. You want the match ball there, but sometimes it's just protecting you against the load.
Yeah, we know that this stuff works well, that part as well, managing the players and the load. So we know that a lot of games are coming, and we just want to be in the best shape possible.
And just finally, it's your trophy, this, isn't it? This is one that you are serious about defending.
Yes, since I'm here, we won it twice already, so like in the game, when you score two, you want the third one, and that's exactly what we want this season as well.
Well done, mate.
Thank you.
Yeah, great performance by Diogo Jota tonight. Congratulations to the Jota family on their impending arrival as well. Good news all round for him. And we spoke pre-match tonight, Jay, about him being a player perhaps with a point to prove, frustrated having started the season as number one up top, then lost his place. Is that almost the perfect response?
I think so, yeah. And, you know, it's only been him and Darwin that have played as a number nine this year. So the shirt was there for both of them to go and try and claim. I think that, you know, the way that they both started, Darwin's come in, scored goals. Jota's done unbelievably well at the start of the season. Okay, he had a quiet bit, but he was still influential in how Liverpool played and how we attacked most teams going forward. And tonight it was about, like, who's going to stand out, but, you know, who's going to state their claim for the weekend. Jota's obviously got the two goals. Darwin did do a lot of work that probably goes unnoticed by affecting the back line to let Jota pick up them pockets either side and be able to free turn and arrive late into the box. You know, he's got the two goals. Does it mean that he deserves to go and play? You know, I'm not picking the manager's team the weekend, but maybe is his decision made by him bringing him off after an hour? We don't know. You know, there's still plenty of factors to play into it. But, you know, he's given the manager a real problem going into the weekend.
I don't think he lost his place. I think Jota is a player who we need to manage because we saw how many games he missed last season. And had he been fit, it's one of those, he might have scored a few more goals and it might have been the difference. I think when you look at all the attacking players Liverpool have, I think you'd probably say he's probably the most clinical. Yes, he's missed chances, and he's missed chances this season. Didn't have many chances tonight. He put the ball in the back of the net twice. He's that sort of striker. When he's in them positions, you really fancy. So rather than playing against Bournemouth, he played the previous four or five games. Just a little bit of a breather, knowing that at times, you've got players like Darwin Nunez who can come in and just rotate in those games.
But even a breather, Neil, though, players still need to deal with that, though. And some players deal with it better than others. Some players would get distracted by not playing every minute of every game, starting every game.
Yeah, I don't think Jota's that type. Yeah, I think...
Was you that type?
Well, yeah, most centre-forwards are. but I think Jota understands because of what he's been through in terms of the games he's missed. It's a long season. Jota doesn't want to be out for overdoing things. Certainly early on in the season, I think that's where the new coach has probably put his arm around him and said, listen, loads of games coming up. I'm going to need you for those games. You're going to sit out because he never even got on the pitch at the weekend. He was an unused sub, knowing that he'd be fresh, raring to go. What's he had an hour tonight? So you're thinking, may get the nod ahead at the weekend against Wolves, his former club, of course. But yeah, he's a player I think we're going to have to manage. Maybe Konate as well, another one, didn't feature tonight. You start thinking about some players who have to be managed with how many games. And that's one of the manager's strengths. If you look at his injury record when he was at Feyenoord, it was so impressive. And if we can have that this season, God, that's going to be a massive, massive difference for us.
It was something that Steve and Aldo touched upon briefly in their chat. The finishes he provided, Neil. The second one, the pass from Curtis to play him in, that's such a Jota finish. But the first one as well, having that kind of reaction, that instinct to capitalise on the opportunity. Not all forwards can do that.
Yeah, I think that's anticipation at its best. There's a big centre-half and a big goalkeeper are favourites for the ball. They're waiting. But Jota's anticipating that maybe Chiesa's effort isn't going to go goal-bound and they can nick a goal. And that's where he gets his goal from, just being alert, anticipating. I really like the second goal because he's in that position. He opens his body out. The goalie knows where it's going. But because he's so good with that finish, just bends it into the corner. So the goalkeeper had no chance. Great pass from Curtis. The run from Diogo and the finish, outstanding.
A couple of goals for him. A couple of goals for Cody Gakpo late on. Another player we spoke about in the build-up, perhaps we're frustrated at the amount of starts he has had so far this season, especially given the Euros he had. But again, as in Milan, comes in and makes a fabulous contribution.
He does, and you know, he's Mellor's probably one of his favourite players. You know, he rightly so is. Diaz has started unbelievably well, by the way, this season. So it's a real difficult one for Cody to get an opportunity on that left side. I think we spoke off here that, you know, naturally I believe that his best position is off the left. He can play a false nine and he's very, very good at that as well. But for me, the most influential period that he's had for Liverpool is when he's come off the left-hand side, cutting inside, but also he is able to go down the left, and the first goal provided that way. You know, he's driving down the left-hand side, his composure to pick out Chiesa at the back post. You know, he's got all different types of game, but for me, I think Cody's another one. He understands that he's going to be a squad player. You know, the manager's obviously got this understanding with the whole squad at the minute, where he knows there's going to be rotation, there's going to be subs around the hour mark. We've seen that on a regular basis over the last couple of games as well. So I believe that, you know, everybody's on the same hymn sheet and everybody's waiting for their opportunity. When that chance comes, there's no sulkers. Everybody's still all fighting on the same line and everyone wants to prove a point, but also play well for the team as well.
He must be helping Diaz as well. Diaz is on absolutely fire. He's looking over his shoulder thinking, if I'm not at it, I've got Cody Gakpo desperate to take my place there. Again, he's shown it. We probably think Diaz is going to get the nod. It's difficult. How can you drop Diaz at the moment? He's been absolutely superb. He's scored 5 goals. He's scored more goals than Mo Salah at the moment this season. So he's been magnificent. But then Cody Gakpo, when he gets his chance, is doing well. So with all the games, it's not a case of Diaz having to play every one. Cody comes in and does extremely well.
It's like a healthy competition. And, you know, it's an incredible thing to have. And, you know, the players at Liverpool and we have are a special talent. You know, they're all international players. They all deserve to play. And, you know, teams across the Premier League, I'm sure a lot of them would walk into other teams. But, you know, they're there as a team. They're competitive. They are pushing each other. But it's healthy competition. They all want to win silverware. They all know they're going to play a big part in the season. It's just when that time comes, they've got to be ready for it.
But as a player, you raise your game knowing that I can't let my standards slip. And maybe that's just that little edge which we're seeing this season from Diaz compared to maybe last season.
Well, that's it. You mentioned 5 goals already this season, but if he was sat with his feet up with a cigar on watching that for a second, shocked into reality late on with those couple of goals from Gakpo and his performance, he knows nobody's place is safe as it stands.
Just a quick break in today's show to let you know that you can get kitted out for the new season at the Liverpool FC store. Shop the new 24-25 season Nike home, away and third kits, as well as new arrivals to the Nike training collection. You can also shop the latest editions across the LFC label fashion for men, women and kids. Shop them today at official LFC stores, online at liverpoolfc.com/store and on the official LFC store app. Anyway, let's get back to the show.
Right now, let's get some more reaction to tonight's win against West Ham. We can hear from Arne Slot now, who's speaking with Pete.
Well, boss, well done. A goal down, 5 goals in response, and a really good performance as well.
Yeah, true. But being a goal down from a set piece is not what you would like. But to see how we bounce back, great team goal, the first one, all the way from the back, playing through, scoring a goal, Diogo was always pleasing, pleasing to see that that he is on the score sheet now as well. He's been really important for us in all these games. But now he's back on the score sheet again after the Ipswich first game. And second half, there were, I think, 10 to 15 minutes where we had to defend hard or strong. But apart from that, I think we had some great attacks and scored some nice goals.
As you kind of allude to there, and the players have talked about it when they've come over as well, you had to remain patient. They were closing off those passing lanes that usually you're so successful at.
Yeah, but it's mostly like this in the first half where everybody's really fit, so everybody can close the passing lanes. That's why we sometimes need to be patient, let them keep on running, and you're already invest in the first half for maybe the other team to get a bit tired in the second half. And the only thing we have to make sure is that we get all these quality players in good positions when we have the ball. And if all these players work really hard without the ball, because everybody's focused on the 2 goals Cody scored, but I saw a very important clearance, I think it was 20 minutes before the end, in our own 18-yard box as well. And as long as they do this, we have a very good, very fair chance of getting results.
Some really nice, pleasant headaches for you with so many individually really good performances tonight from players who maybe haven't started the season. But I have to ask you about Diogo Jota, because you will have known about him from afar as to how good you thought he was. Has he even surprised you, the levels he's got to since you've been Liverpool manager?
No, they were just asking me about the younger players as well. Nobody surprised me, because, you know, if you arrive at a club like Liverpool, you're expecting a lot of quality. And I've seen a lot before I came. So you're expecting players have a lot of quality. What they maybe surprised me with, or yeah, maybe it's a positive surprise, is the work rate they put in without the ball, although that was a key thing in Jürgen's teams, of course, as well. But it's good and pleasing to see that none of them is working for themselves. No one is thinking of the individual. Everybody's thinking first and foremost of the team, and then the individual can do special things. And that's in a lot of games, it's been every time someone else. Mm. It was Lucio in the weekend, maybe. Now it was Djoko scoring 2, Cody scoring 2, Mo who came in and scored a good goal. So pleasing to see that we have so much goal scorers.
Well done tonight.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Yeah, we'll pick up on what the boss had to say in a few moments' time, but it's first of all worth just bringing you up to speed on the draw for the fourth round of this year's Carabao Cup. It's just been completed. Liverpool face a trip to Brighton and Hove Albion. At the drawing for that is as follows. It's Brentford against Sheffield Wednesday. Southampton will host Stoke. Tottenham will take on Manchester City in a very tasty tie down at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. It's Wimbledon or Newcastle at home to Chelsea. Manchester United will host Leicester. Aside from our game at Brighton, it's Preston, Arsenal and Aston Villa, Crystal Palace. Now, the ties in the fourth round will take place the week commencing the 28th of October. So that means that Liverpool will face, in the space of a week, Arsenal away, Brighton away and Brighton home here at Anfield. Well, Jay Spearing, I think if I was picking where I didn't really want to go midweek, Brighton would probably be it, a team that plays really well, full of verve, full of exciting attacking intent, and a game in which you don't get any credit really for winning, but you could quite easily lose.
Yeah, listen, we couldn't possibly quite get any further away in the midweek, but it's one of them, you know, in this competition, in any competition, the FA Cup, the Carabao Cup, you know, you have to beat good teams to go to the final. And Liverpool, again, are going to have to go and beat a good team who are very attacking. They are under a new manager, under a new regime. You know, he's got them playing slowly the way that he wants them to play. It'll be a difficult tie, but one that we can go and win. And like I say, if you want to go and win this competition, we have to be good teams to get there, to get to the final, and we have to be good teams to win it as well. So, you know, a difficult test, a difficult week, like you just mentioned. But, you know, the squad, as we've talked about quite a lot tonight, will be at full force and will be obviously used throughout the week.
Yeah, that kind of week just underlines why you have a squad with this kind of depth, because that is three very tough games, two on the road in the space of 7 days.
Yeah, I think between now and then, there's a lot of football to play. You know, we're stood here now feeling good. Momentum's really good at the moment for Liverpool. Things can change very quickly in football. You know, Brighton are the same. I think they've had a decent start to the season. You just don't know between now and then what's happened in terms of results, injuries, who's available, how many changes will they make, how many changes will we make. Without a doubt, when I'm watching the draw, I want us to be at home. I want us to be at home thinking we'll beat anyone at home. Away from home, we can still beat Brighton, but that is one of the more difficult games. But there is a lot to happen between now and then. At the moment, everything's looking really good with the squad. But when that game comes around, things could be slightly different.
Yeah, a lot of time and a lot of football to be played between now and that fourth round clash. To pick up what the manager was talking about, I think what was interesting was he emphasised how the players are doing it for the team, the collective. And that's the point we were making just a few moments ago. That seems to be the ethic that's being displayed week in, week out.
Yeah, it is. It's an incredible squad. The players are all doing as hard as they can week in. Obviously, being very fortunate enough to, you know, to see it on a daily basis and be around it, you can see the work rate that they put in. That's not just obviously the players, it's the staff in the background, the physios, you know, the kitchen staff upstairs, the recovery staff, the masseurs, everybody. It's a full, everybody's on the same hymn sheet. The players are doing incredible things, you know, the work rate that they do in training, everybody's at, like, you know, pushing each other to the limits to keep everyone on their toes. They all want to play. You know, the manager can only pick 11 players to go and play in a single game, but, you know, everybody's pushing everyone. Again, when that time comes, they're ready to go. They're all keeping each other honest. You know, nobody's slacking. Everybody's demanding the highest standards of everybody. And, you know, the amount of games that come and there will be rotation, but, you know, everybody is ready to rock and roll when needed.
It's only a very small sample size, given the amount of games that have been played. But, you know, there's a lot to be said for how seamless the transition has been, because it was a big change after such a period of stability and a big character in the role. He's gone. The football's gone. The backroom staff have gone. So much change. Yet, actually, we've kind of just carried on winning in the same sort of vein.
Yeah, I mean, if you look across the Premier League, across Europe, there's been a lot of teams that have changed the head coach, the manager. Look how well they've started. Not many have started as well as Liverpool. I mean, look at West Ham. They've changed their manager. They're finding it a little bit difficult. They've spent a bit of money. They don't have the same quality, and they weren't left in the same position that certainly Arne Slot has inherited at Liverpool. But when you've been used to something and you've really loved it and it's been a great place, you know, under Jurgen for a number of years, as a player, a group of players, you know, maybe it can be a little bit difficult to take to the new coach, but they took him very, very quickly. I think Arne plays it down. He's very modest in terms of, if you look at the fixtures we've played, they've been kind. You still got to beat these teams. They're desperate to turn Liverpool over. So it's been a really good start, really encouraging start. You can see that everybody's buying into it. And you're going in to see them all tomorrow and train with them. And you must be looking forward to it because everything's so rosy and the mood's so good at the moment.
Yeah, listen, it's an incredible thing that, you know, that we're doing at Axe at the minute, being able to go and train, you know, with some of these players, and the lads get opportunities, which is incredible for them as well. And, you know, the standards that they set when we're chasing them around, trying to win the ball back from them, you know, it is a real difficult 20 minutes half an hour that we have to do, but it's so enjoyable, you know, to play alongside these players and compete against these, you know, throughout the week, the lads. It's an unbelievable opportunity to see the level that our boys have to reach. And, you know, it's exciting as well that we want to be part of, but the staff are incredible. They get around the boys, you know, they help them out, and, you know, they are an incredible set of staff that have come in and hit the ground running.
Yeah, you're probably in need of those coffees, a little coffee barista bar as you go into action now, aren't you, after running around after all that?
One or two.
Yeah, just one or two to keep you pepped up. We'll pause things again, get more reaction from over in the Liverpool dressing room. Pete now is speaking with Curtis Jones.
Curtis, 5-1 win. How happy are you with not just the result but the performance as well tonight?
I've got a smile on my face here. It's been a hard run, you know, of being in and out of the team. I've had an injury and stuff, but now I'm back and playing games. I've got an assist as well for Jot. But, it was a 5-1 win. So, in overall, it was a good night.
Difficult start, wasn't it? Obviously, yeah. They have the goal disallowed, then score first. You have to try and find a response to that. And you did that quickly as a team.
Yeah, I mean, the first half, you know, half-time, you know, I was saying there's no space. The setup with the mid block to where, you know, it was hard for the centre mids to play and stuff. But then, you know, in the second half, it opened up more. I was able to get more space, and we was playing through more, and that's where the goals came from.
It looked as though you were able to get higher up the pitch as well. That's where you like to be most, isn't it?
Yeah, I was playing more as an eight in the first half, and in the second half I played more, you know, as a 10. I think that's kind of gone now, you know, in the game and stuff. I was higher up. I'm more comfortable around there. I feel more free. I showed, you know, I can play around the box. I had a load of shots which I didn't score, but, you know, eventually it will come. The assist that, you know, I was saying there about with Jots.
It was a great move, that, wasn't it? It was one you kind of started on the edge of your own penalty area.
Yeah,
well.
I was nearly nicked on the ball, actually. it was lucky, but then, it's a thing that the gaffer and the staff have said about me, you know, if I pick up the ball, you know, I've got to run more. It's a strength of mine. That's what I tried, and then I've picked it up again, and I've slipped in Jota, and I knew he was going to score, so I already had a smile on my face once it went through his legs.
How good is he, Curtis, for somebody that provides that supply line? Because we so easily talk about the very biggest greats at Liverpool, don't we? Yeah. But in that position, there aren't too many in history that have been better than him.
Nah, 100%. You just said it all then. And the thing is with Jota as well, there's times when, you know, he won't score goals, but you know, he's a massive help and stuff on the pitch. You know, he's never afraid to get on the ball. You know, he's always there to help. You know, he's a strong lad. He will hold the ball well. He's quick. He can score off both feet. He can score with his head there as well. You know, as you're seeing. So he's an overall threat. And I love him there. And plus, he's a great lad as well.
Yeah,
he helps you out loads and stuff as well on the pitch. So. He's a world class now, but on top of that, he's an amazing guy as well.
We talked about patience before, and sometimes you can't have that as a footballer, can you? You alluded to it before. You have a great pre-season, then you get that little niggle, then you've got to remain patient to get back in again. How difficult is that period for a player?
It's the story of me, I think. It's the story of me. It's always in the same way, but, you know, it's one of them things, you know, that I've had already and stuff. I'm mature now, my experience of being there. The small knocks and stuff, you know, in the road and stuff, I don't let it really affect me anymore. I just come in, I work hard, and any time that I'm called to play, I'll always try the best I can.
Just finally, what will be really important now with the squad that's all chomping at the bit is that you go in every competition. This is one that you'll be desperate as a squad to keep hold of, this cup.
Yeah, it's the same again. We just want to win all the games. We've got a big team. We've got plenty of games, so the team will be changed. But the lads who might not play in the Prem or the Champions League and stuff, you know, it's always hard. But, you know, if you get your opportunity like that there, you've got to go and show that, you know, you can be called upon. You know, if the Premier League games, the Champions League game, Champions League game is the Carabao Cup, it's the FA Cup, and I'm one of them myself. You know, I just want to play all the games. I'm fit, I'm healthy, and I'm excited as well. So, you know, if I get the nod, I'm always going to be there.
Mm. Long may it continue. Well done today.
Thank you.
Yeah, good contribution from Curtis here this evening. It is Brighton away next in the Carabao Cup at the end of October. This weekend, it's a return to Premier League action, though, for the Reds as they head to Wolves. Jay, an interesting team. Gary O'Neill gets a lot of praise for his coaching, his management, but he's had a difficult challenge this season. Their two best players, Neto and Kilman, sold. It's going to be difficult for him to kind of keep them going, perhaps, or get enough momentum initially.
Yeah, I think they ended last season in a good place. To go and lose Kilman, obviously we've seen him here tonight, but to go and lose Neto as well. Two huge, huge players that, you know, that were very vital in what they were good at and what they'd done well. To lose them in the summer and maybe not bring in as many influential players as them two, you know, is that an easy reason why they've not started the season so well? Does he find himself a little bit under pressure? He probably does. Leading into the weekend, did he really want to see Liverpool come around the corner off the back of a 5-1 convincing win tonight? Probably not, but, you know, Liverpool have got to go there and do the business. Wolves, you know, the pressure's on him, but also the players as well, to maybe pull out a performance. But Liverpool have to go there full of confidence, surely.
Yeah, just a point on the board so far this season for Wolves. Last season, the game there, we actually fell behind. Mm-hmm. And had to respond and respond well, and eventually obviously ran out winners. It can be tricky if we let it be tricky.
Yeah, I think the timing of this game was interesting because it was on the back of an international break, probably half 12. You know, we seem to have an half 12, didn't we, after all of them games. So the timing wasn't great. And I remember thinking a few of the players maybe a little bit jaded from that international break. Wolves, better side first half, but Liverpool second half were too good for Wolves and took control of the game and ended up winning it convincingly. This was the equalising goal where Gakpo gets a little bit of a tapping at the far post. Andy Robertson, I mean this, you look at some assists, and what about this for assist from Mo Salah? Unbelievable pass. Andy Robertson carries his run, but what about that for a ball? Unbelievable assist again, added to Salah's total. And dodgy goals panel took this last goal off Harvey Elliott. It's just not needed. That is Harvey Elliott's goal, but they managed to take it off him.
Is it called the dodgy goals panel? I'm not entirely sure.
It is. But it was a good result, and it can be a tricky place. What I would say about Wolves is, yes, they got well beaten by Chelsea this season, 6-2, but they have been competitive in the last few games. They were beating Newcastle, a couple of late goals. Newcastle ended up winning the game 2-1, but Newcastle goalkeeper had to make some good saves in that game. And then the last one against Villa, away 1-1, 88th minute, thinking this could be a good point. Bang, bang, they ended up getting beat 3-1. So a couple of late goals, they've been in the games so in those last couple. So it's not going to be easy. They're going to look to try and respond. I look at Cunha as a decent player. I look at Ait Nour and I think they're a couple of players who could potentially cause us problems at the weekend.
Yeah. Mentioned that they've lost the kind of best players. They signed Andre from Fluminense. That was kind of late on to kind of fit in and sit in that midfield role in front of the back four. Player with a lot of hype around him initially. Maybe thought he'd end up higher up the food chain, ended up Wolves. They've also signed Strand Larsen on loan. There are a couple of additions, but maybe not enough quality, but also quality that's not a chance to bed in, maybe.
Yeah, and we talked about it before that, you know, how long the managers but also players get to bed in before the pressure starts to turn and the fans start to turn, and, you know, the pressure really starts to mount up on managers to make decisions on, you know, are they the right signings? Have they spent the right money on the right players? Have they brought in, you know, the right ones to replace who's left? But, you know, Wolves are in a difficult moment. I probably agree with Mel's in that, you know, they are competitive. But have they got enough, you know, come the weekend to deal with a Liverpool side that, you know, the attack and prowess that we have, the rotation that we can bring, the, you know, the subs tonight off the bench, incredible to see the bench. A lot of the lads have started tonight, may, you know, will probably be on the bench the weekend, but an unbelievable squad for us to go and play.
Well, on that very subject then, for you, Neil, Diaz or Gakpo? Oh,
tough one,
the
weekend.
Yeah, it's a tough one. It's tough, yeah. Well, the manager's made 9 changes tonight, so...
Answer.
Make it
answer.
One out, yeah.
what, all season? No, the weekend.
The weekend.
I think Diaz is probably one of the most informed Premier League players at the moment. So I think, yeah, it'd be a big surprise if he wasn't on the team sheet. The fact he was rested tonight and he'd be fresh, raring to go at the weekend to cause absolute havoc for that Wolves defence. So, yeah, I mean, Cody Gakpo will play a big part this season, but I think Diaz gets a nod this weekend.
You never answered that question.
I said Diaz is getting a nod this weekend.
Just to wrap though, if talking changes from the normal kind of go-to team that's very little tinker with, is maybe Jota back in, given the sub situation we came off, maybe look at that, might
yeah,
be what you'd look
yeah,
to.
If you read into it and you look into it, you know, he's got the two goals tonight, he's played an hour, you're probably looking at that thinking, you know, the hour gives him ready, still keep him fresh for the weekend. Nunes goes and plays 90. I know there's obviously plenty of time between then and 5:30 on Saturday, but, you know, you're reading between the lines, you'd expect probably Jota to come back into the starting lineup as a nine, and then obviously everything else kind of speaks for itself.
Okay, guys, that's about it from us tonight. I really enjoyed that. Good fun, even though I couldn't really speak for most of it, but I enjoyed it nonetheless. That is it from today's episode of The Reaction. We'll be back on Saturday with more analysis and interviews as Liverpool travel to take on Premier League strugglers Wolves. Until then, if you haven't already, then please give us a follow wherever you get your podcasts to make sure that you don't miss an episode when they drop.